I've also got three things. And I want you to tell me what they have in common. First of all, there's a bottle. Then there's some kind of little bowl. And then there's a cup. Three things, they have something in common. What is it? Okay, first of all, they're all made of plastic. But more than that, they're all made of plastic, but they're made in the same way. And the way they're made is through a process called injection molding. And it's a very simple process. You start with the plastic in little pellets. And you take the plastic in little pellets and you heat it up. And as you heat up the plastic, it goes, turns into a liquid. And then you force that liquid down a tube into a mold. And it depends on the shape of the mold. If it's a cup-shaped mold, you get out a cup. If it's a bottle-shaped mold, you get out a bottle. And if it's a bowl-shaped mold, you get out a bowl. It's very simple. The text for today talks about molds. And it talks, just like injection molding, about being shaped, about being conformed. I would like us together, and I hope you've got the notice sheet because it's there on the front. I would like us together to begin by reading the verse on the bottom of the front page of the notice sheet. Have you got it? Are you ready? One, two, three. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your mind from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Keep hold of that, because we're going to come back to that verse again and again as I speak to you. But first of all, let us pray together. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. None of us like to be different. We like to fit in, to belong, to be accepted. If we have a choice, we normally go with the crowd, with the majority. This has been a difficult week for some children going to a new school for the first time. And one of the difficult things about the new school is being different, standing out. I still remember the trauma when I first went to secondary school. In my day, at primary school, all the boys wore shorts. And when you went to a secondary school, all the boys wore long trousers. But my mum said that in the first year at secondary school, you still wore shorts. But I wasn't sure. And my nightmare on the bus as I went to school was, would I arrive in my shorts to discover everybody else in the playground had long trousers? And it was so difficult going to school that day. And I went into the playground, and there, praise the Lord, everyone was, all the first year boys were in shorts, except for one lad who wore long trousers. And I really felt for him, standing out, being different. I wonder whether you have ever had such an experience where you really didn't fit in, where you stood out, where you felt embarrassed, where you wanted to hide. Our very nature leads us to want it to conform. We want to belong. We don't want to be different. We want to be accepted. We want to fit in. But Jesus was different. Jesus was different. As we read the Gospels, again and again, we discover that Jesus didn't conform, he didn't fit in, he didn't do what was expected of him. And more than that, he warned his followers that they would also stand out, that they wouldn't necessarily fit in. And so in Matthew 7, verse 13, he says these words, "Go in by the narrow gate, for the wide gate has a broad road which leads to disaster, and there are many people going that way. The narrow gate and the hard road lead out into life, and only a few are finding it." If you seek to follow Jesus, I'm sorry to say, you're going to be with the minority. You're not going to be with the crowds, and you are, from time to time, going to stand out. Following Jesus is not an easy option. This morning, I want to share with you three ways in which Jesus was different, in which Jesus stood out from those around him. First of all, the first thing I want to say about Jesus, he was different because he valued everyone. Without prejudice, he valued people. In Jesus' day, there were many divisions in society. Even the religious community was divided. There were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes and so on, arguing amongst themselves. There were the Jews who despised the Samaritans, who were sort of half Jews but not proper Jews. They despised too the foreigners in their midst. No one liked the occupying Roman soldiers, and everyone hated the tax collectors, those who collaborated with Rome. On top of that, the leprosy sufferers were forced out of the community. Women were seriously marginalized, and children tolerated at best. But Jesus was different. Jesus valued all men and women and children. Why? Because he recognized that each one was special, made in the image of God, and therefore of value, therefore precious in God's sight. So it was he made time for children, even when his disciples say, "Don't waste your time on them." He welcomed women. He talked with them. He shared with them. He counseled them. He mixed with rich and poor alike. He didn't distinguish. He ministered to the outcasts of society. People sick with contagious disease, he touched them. People who were, quite frankly, out of their mind, he went to them and he healed them. He spoke well of Samaritans. He helped foreigners. And he welcomed those who collaborated with the Roman authorities to become part of his team. And he even had a welcome for that religious leader, that Pharisee, Nicodemus. Jesus was different. He didn't behave, he didn't conform in the way that everybody else in society did. Today, we live in a society that is so full of prejudice against people who are different. If you think about Brexit, it could well be that the thing that swayed Brexit was a dislike, a prejudice against foreigners, against people who were different, people who spoke differently, people who held different beliefs and cultures. And of course, our prejudice is not just against foreigners, but it's people who are different to us. People from a different tribe. People who speak with a different accent. People who have a different standard of living, and so on and so on. The challenge for us is to be like Jesus, to value people for who they are. They are individuals made in the image of God, loved by God, precious in His sight. And the starting point is to know people by their name, to know them as individuals, not as a label, and to love them, and to listen to them, and to welcome them, to get to know their views, their culture, to respect them, to learn from them, to pray for them. This autumn, at the Forefront Centre, we're thinking about, we're praying about, we're considering starting classes in English for ethnic minorities, for people who don't have a good grasp of spoken English. This will be an opportunity to put aside our prejudice and to welcome people from outside our church, from outside our community, and seek to know them and seek to bless them. God's word for today, let's read it again, is this. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Secondly, Jesus was different because he was fearless in speaking the truth. Even when it was unpopular, even when it was against the received wisdom of society, although he valued, accepted, and loved people, he wasn't afraid to warn them, to tell them when they were doing things wrong, to tell them when they were disappointing God, when they weren't going according to God's path. He didn't mince his words. He called sin, sin. Something that is against God, something that is wrong in God's eyes. He criticized the king, Herod, for his immoral lifestyle. He criticized the Pharisees for their hypocrisy, the traders in their temple for their extortion and deceit. The adulterous woman was told, go and sin no more. He warned that rich young man that his materialistic outlook on life was leading him astray. He even told off his disciples, saying, don't covet positions. Don't want to be the leader, the big person. We live in a society that worships at the altar of tolerance. How many times we've heard that one of the characteristics of being British is being tolerant. But it's rather strange that tolerance stops where it involves sincerely held Christian beliefs and moral values. Nowhere is this clearer than in issues involving, for example, the sanctity of life, or gender identity, or sexual relationships. Christians who believe in the sanctity of marriage question the validity of homosexual relationships or have reservations about abortion are pilloried as narrow-minded bigots and people haters. Just a few months ago, Tim Farron, a Christian politician, leader of the Lib Dems, felt it necessary to step down from leadership of the party. Why? Because he didn't agree with gay marriage. And such was the pressure, He couldn't lead a party with those views. Rather, regrettably, he didn't really stick to his guns. And I remember the interview on Radio 4 when he was pressed on his views about gay marriage, and he was asked, "Do you believe that gay sex is a sin? Do you believe?" Again and again and again he was pressed and asked. And he couldn't bring himself to say what I think he really believed. Yes, according to God's word, it is a sin. But more than that, Christians speaking up for the right to life are accused of being patriarchal and denying women control over their own body. The sanctity of young life is in the womb is overlooked in deference to women's rights. Even worse, Christians who oppose gay sex are accused of homophobia, of hating people of a different sexual orientation. No way. Jesus didn't hate that woman taken in adultery when he said to her, "Go and sin no more." He loved her and longed for her to be free from the things that shackled her. We live in a mixed-up society. There are many good things, like the striving for gender equality in terms of things like equal pay for equal work. That's great. But it loses its way when it confuses about gender identity and fails to recognize the God-given differences between men and women. I sometimes listen to Woman's Hour, and the presenter in Woman's Hour is a very aggressive lady called Jane Garvey. And she was interviewing some parents, and they were discussing about parenting. And at the end of the conversation, it was an interesting conversation, and the mother involved said about her son, "Well, boys will be boys." And immediately she was told by Jane Garvey, "You cannot say that. It is not allowed. You can say boys will be girls. You can say anything you like. But you can't distinguish between boys and girls." This morning on the radio, one of the headlines was talking about gender-neutral school uniforms. Again, this emphasis to do away with the distinction between the God-given difference between male and female. As Christians, we need to know what we believe and not be afraid to speak it out because it's not politically correct. Not afraid to speak out because it's not the majority view. No one has the right to tell you, "You cannot say that," especially if it's in the Word of God. What's God's word for us today? Let's read it again together. "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity." And thirdly, Jesus was different because he rejected materialism. As far as we know, Jesus owned no home, although he was always a welcome guest in people's homes. He had no paid employment, certainly while he was ministering, although his ministry was supported by well-wishers. He owned no fishing boat, although he often went for a ride in one. He possessed little more than the clothes he stood up in, and even those were taken away from him by the Roman soldiers at his crucifixion. And so it was that Jesus lived simply, and he encouraged others to do the same. He challenged his followers with these words: sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We live in a world, a country, a society that is enmeshed, is trapped in materialism. We are consumed by a desire to own things, to possess things. We measure success in monetary terms. We value people by their salary. Whether we're doing well as a nation is determined by economic growth, by GDP, by manufacturing output, by buying and owning things. Where we are in a race to convert the world's resources into consumer items. We're no longer content with just access to facilities. Just think about it, about the things around you. We no longer share things, we own things. We're no longer happy just with having, most of us having somewhere to sleep, somewhere to stay. We have to have our own home. We're no longer happy, well, there aren't many of them, are there, to use public transport. We have to have our own personal transport system, our car or cars. We no longer go to the cinema. Not very many of them left, are there? But we have our own personal cinema in our front room, in our lounge. We'd no longer go to the laundrette. There aren't very many of them left, but we do have our own personal washing machine. We no longer use the phone box on the corner. I don't think there are very many left, are there? But we all have our own personal communication system. Everything is personalized. We have to own it, possess it. We measure success in terms of what we own. I still remember a Christmas in the late 50s. As a family, we lived in London. We had our own home. And that Christmas, I remember it was a good Christmas. Our home was nicely decorated. The coal fires were burning. It was warm. There were presents under the Christmas tree. It was great. And I was desperately unhappy. Why? Because my father had just left home. And it was at that point I realized for the first time people are more precious than possessions. Some years later, I began to learn that God is more precious than possessions. As Christians, we're so often trapped in a materialistic society of which there is no way out. And we desperately need to learn to hold our possessions lightly in an open hand. Next week, we're having our harvest celebration. And as part of that, we're celebrating God's goodness to us, his provision for us. But at the same time, we're also going to be giving. We're going to be giving to the local community through gifts for Lord's Larder. But we're going to be giving to people who have practically nothing in Africa, to help them live and survive. God's word says, let's say it again, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your mind from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. When Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, he was writing to a small minority of believers. living in a largely godless society where sexual immorality was not only practiced but approved by the ruling elite. And idolatry in one form or another was the norm. The Christians lived under intense pressure to conform to society. And so Paul wrote them these challenging words: don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. He wanted the Christians in Rome to be different, to stand out, not to conform with the expectations of the Roman world, but to live differently, to live as Jesus did. As Christians, we must not be seduced by the idea that the majority is always right. It is the will of the people, or the argument that everyone does it. Pressure comes in many guises. It may come through political decisions and acts of parliament, like gay marriage. It may come through films and drama and soap operas that portray immorality and wrong lifestyles as the norm, as if everyone's doing it, whether it's the archers or neighbors or whatever. That's the picture, that's the story that we're fed. It may come through media debates and interviews, where the interviewer pushes and pushes and pushes their agenda. It may come through the destructive influence of much social media, or it may come through our friends, our workmates, the people we go to school with. As a fresh graduate, I remember attending an award ceremony, a lunch, with a number of bigwigs from the university. Everybody else was drinking freely, consuming alcohol, and I opted for a glass of orange juice. And I was roundly and forcefully told, "Look, son, you'll never get on in life unless you learn to drink with other people." There are pressures all the time. I wonder what are the pressures that are on you. Maybe you work too hard in your place of work or study. Maybe you get gripe from others because you're showing them up because of the way you do your work. Maybe it's in your family. "Oh, you're always going to church. What's the matter with you? Why can't you be like everybody else?" Whatever it is, we need to learn to be different. Jesus was different. He was different because he welcomed everyone without prejudice. He was different because he was unafraid to speak the truth. And he was different because he rejected the materialistic society of his day and age. The Word of God, and let's read it one more time, says this: "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity." Come, let us dare to be different. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed for Jesus. We thank you for his courage, that he lived, that he spoke differently. Our Father, give us that courage to be like him. Help us to resist the pressures that are around us, that try and make us conform in a secular world. Make us free. Make us different because of Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen.